This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Richard Thompson has a new CD, so we invited him to talk with us about it. Thompson is a great songwriter, singer, and guitarist who has a devoted following. He first became known in the late 60s as the lead guitarist for the British band Fairport Convention, which was among the first groups to perform rock songs with a melodic or lyrical connection to traditional folk ballads from the British Isles. Thompson left the band in 1971. In many of his own songs, he's continued to combine a rock and folk sensibility, but almost always with a dark, dramatic edge. His new CD is called Mock Tutor. Some of these new songs have an autobiographical connection, alluding to the neighborhoods he grew up in and the people he knew. This song is called Hard on Me.
Hard on me.
Richard Thompson, welcome back to Fresh Air.
Thank you very much indeed.
The new CD is divided into like three chapters. And the first chapter is called Metroland. What's the meaning of that?
Metroland was this kind of dream suburb that was created in London between the wars, between 1919, 1939. And it was a sort of idealized country-style living, which turned out to just be another suburb, really. And it also followed the growth of one of the London tube lines, which was called the Metro Line, the Metropolitan Line, I should say. So it became known as Metroland. It was a kind of an advertising slogan. And I grew up kind of in Metroland, so I have a love-hate relationship with the place.
And what relationship does the song we just heard, Hard on Me, have to Metroland?
I think of it as a song about my family, particularly about my father, and and growing up in the suburbs and feeling very put upon and isolated, and I suppose I felt a lack of freedom and a lack of culture.
He was a cop when you were growing up, and
he was a cop, yeah.
Right, and I read in a biography of you that one of the neighborhoods you lived in was a neighborhood that was basically built for the families of policemen. Was this that neighborhood?
Let me think. At one time it was, yes. Imagine that, you're surrounded. All your neighbors are policemen. All the kids, of course, were total rebels, all of them.
Including you?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
So what was it like to grow up in a neighborhood where nearly everyone had a father who was a cop?
Very strange, peculiar. It's tough for police. It's tough for police families. It's hard for the police to make friends outside of the police force, so they actually do tend to stick together, and they spend their off-duty hours with other police or criminals. They also fraternize a lot with the criminal classes. It's very strange. When I was a bit older, I'd go into a pub with my father, and he'd say, "Oh, there's old Charlie. I'm just going to go and talk to him for a minute," and he'd be chatting to some guy, having a drink with him, and then he'd come back over and say, "Oh, that was Charlie Higginbottom, I put him away for 7 years for safecracking, But they were just, great friends. It was very strange.
So is this CD an occasion for you to write songs about your past, to like look back on your past and translate some of that into music?
I suppose it's turned out that way. I think what I was trying to do was to write songs that still had a kind of a contemporary resonance for me. And and all the songs really still, I still meet the same kind of people. I still find myself in the same kinds of situations. But it's easier for me to decode it if I set the scene in the past.
The second chapter on your CD is called Heroes in the Suburbs. What's that chapter heading about?
I suppose it's an ironical title. I had a sort of fantasy in my mind of Greek gods enacting their their triumphs in the suburbs of North London. But the title is very ironical in terms of the songs represented.
Let me play one of the songs from that chapter. This is Crawl Back Under My Stone. Would you say something about the song before we hear it?
The British class system, I suppose, is at the bottom of the song. It's still there. It's been slowly eroded over the last sort of 20, 30 years. But being, you know, from the very middle of the middle class, I always felt, you know, the social stigmas of Britain. Yeah, you're always made to feel the social stigmas. And it's a song about finding oneself in those circumstances.
So this is Richard Thompson from his new CD, Mock Tutor, and the song is called Crawl Back Under My Stone.
This time you hurt me, you really did it, this time you did. Did you count your fingers after shaking my hand, God forbid? Riff-raff, crawling from the slums, right there in front of all your chums. I swear by the pricking of my thumbs, I'll make your day and melt away.
Music from Richard Thompson's new CD, Mock Tutor. Now, the character in the song that we just heard wants to be middle class. You describe yourself from the middle of the middle class. So is this a persona song for you?
Well, I think it's kind of me, really. It's a very slight touch of persona. It's really me.
So what were the social stigmas you feel like you came of age with? It made you want to crawl back under your stone.
You know, if you haven't grown up with class, I don't know how you describe it. I think in America, class is just wealth. That's all it is. You know, you can be anybody. That's the great thing about America. You know, you can be, you know, the poorest person, but you have the potential to be the president or the potential to be extremely wealthy. You know, Americans tend to applaud the gaining of wealth, whereas in Europe, if you haven't got old money, you know, you're considered an outsider forever. You know, if you suddenly win the lottery or something, you know, you're still in your class. You're still, you know, lower middle class, you know, upper middle class, you know, lower class. You never escape that.
Now, does celebrity bypass class? Like, if you're a celebrity, do you just become a member of the celebrity class? Like, when you became...
Well, I think so, yeah. That's one of the most mobile positions to be in socially in Britain. And I think that happened in the 60s when you had people like, you know, Mick Jagger and David Bailey and the Beatles, you know, suddenly go and have tea with, you know, the Marquess of whatever, you know. They were sort of, you know, a bit of a curiosity and not totally accepted, but they could certainly rub shoulders.
My guest is Richard Thompson. He has a new CD called Mock Tutor. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is guitarist, songwriter, and singer Richard Thompson. Well, I want to go back to your new CD, which is called Mock Tutor, and go to what is the third chapter on the new CD, which is called Street Cries and Stage Whispers. And the song I want to play is called That's All, Amen, Close the Door. Would you say something about this song?
I think this song is really about Sandy Denny, who is a wonderful singer that I worked with in Fairport Convention, and then I played in Sandy's band for about a year after that. And she's a truly great singer, very underappreciated, great singer, great writer, you know, and sorely missed. And I get upset when people try to kind of to dig her up in the wrong way, if you know what I mean. Nick Drake is another artist who died young, and you know, there's a real cult for. I think the kind of cult that grows up around Sandy is, you know, it kind of upsets me in ways that I can't always describe. So I have to write a song about it.
Well, we'll listen to the song. this is from Richard Thompson's new CD, Mock Tutor. The song is called "That's All, Amen, Close the Door."
That's all. That's all there was. Say amen. Close the door. She gave as much as she had to give. Please don't ask for more. Please don't ask for more. That's all. The curtain's down. The lights are up.
Richard Thompson from his new CD, Mock Tutor. That's a really great song. And I you know, in addition to really loving the lyrics, I really like the harmonies and the chords on that.
Oh, thank you.
Not that you're the typical rock performer, but a lot of rock performers really just know a handful of chords, and I think your kind of chordal and harmonic knowledge is just really deep.
Oh, gosh. Well, keep saying these
yeah, right.
Words,
yeah, but I'll go on. I'm wondering how you learned that. It knowledge that's maybe more typical of jazz musicians.
Well, you know, I'm a pop musician or I'm a folk musician, but you know, I've always listened to other kinds of music, and And I can't play jazz to save my life, and I can't play classical music, but, you know, the little bits of harmony, I think you can just tack onto the edges of popular music.
Now, you mentioned that the song we just heard was about Sandy Denny and your reaction to the cult that formed around her after her death. I'm wondering what impact her death had on you. Was this like the first time someone you were really close with who was like, someone you were close with and also a fellow performer and someone of your own age?
Yeah, I think as a fellow performer, it was, I think it hit everyone around Sandy very hard. But I think there was also, there was a kind of a sense of inevitability about it. You know, Sandy was a hard-living person. And I think, you know, if you took a kind of objective look at her life, it did seem stacked up against her somehow, and she didn't seem to be able to deal with it. Yeah. So it was a shock, and it was sudden, but there was also a sense of, well, that this was going to happen.
How did she die?
She had a head injury. She fell down the stairs, and then they weren't sure if that was the prime reason that she was. She was comatose, or if she just reopened another injury from a previous fall, you know, because I think she'd had a couple of falls before that.
What would you say is like the music at the very foundation of who you are, the music that you first heard, that first imprinted itself on you, whether you liked it or not?
Well, I think the stuff that really does me, you know, that really gets the deepest, is Scottish music. And I don't know how early I heard that, probably, you know, since I was, you know, zero. So there's that. There's also, you know, something like, you know, Louis Armstrong's Hot Five, which my father had, you know, on 78. So it was, a very early musical experience that I still love. I mean, I still think, you know, Louis Armstrong is the most... important musician of the century, I suppose you know, something like Jerry Lee Lewis, you know, as well, you know, just the, you know, the energy and the rebellion in that music, it just did me, you know. So I think the music I try to play now is somewhere, you know, between, you know, Scottish traditional Louis Armstrong and Jerry Lee Lewis.
No, that's not bad.
some strange amalgam of that kind of thing, you know.
I want to close with another song from your new CD, Mock Tutor. And this is a song that's really pretty funny. It's called Hope You Like the New Me. And it's a song about somebody who's borrowed, or shall we say stolen, a lot of characteristics of another person. And the song really leads one to wonder, what's the difference between being inspired by and influenced by someone and just like stealing from them when that other person is a performer? And you've probably been on both sides of this, right? Of borrowing from and being borrowed from.
Particularly on one side. I'm not sure I've stolen too much. I might have borrowed from dead people, but that's acceptable. If you've been in the music business, you know, any length of time, then you've probably been stolen from.
What kind of things do you think were stolen from you?
Money and music.
What kind of music, I guess? Are you thinking of sound or...
Oh, I suppose you could say that as well. Yeah, you know, sounds, sounds, tunes, lyrics, everything. Yeah, everything.
To the point where you ever sued, or
has stuff ever gone to court? I don't think so. I don't think so. And sometimes, you know, it's not worth it. So you don't go all the way. You don't take the legal steps because it's more expensive than recovering whatever it was. But the music business is just full of that, you know.
Now, it's interesting to me that you feel like people have stolen stuff from you, and yet you wrote the song in the persona of the person who has stolen from somebody else, and you wrote it in a very funny way as opposed to an angry way.
Yeah, well, I'm not particularly angry about it, I'm not unique in that. A lot of musicians have had stuff, you know, lifted, sometimes very blatantly and very expensively, and it's you know, it's just a type of person that I was more interested in than the actual stealing. You know, it's a kind of person that I met, you know, at the beginning of my time in the music business, and they're still there now. I still meet them, and I was just interested in getting inside the framework of that kind of person.
Why don't we hear the final song on your CD, and it's called "Hope You Like the New Me." Richard Thompson, it's a great record and a pleasure to have you back on Fresh Air.
Thank you very much, Terry.
Richard Thompson's new CD is called Mock Tutor. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.